Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. We are recording today, episode number 103. I can't believe I'm saying episode 103. It feels like yesterday when I started this channel. But it's been 2 years now. We just celebrated our second anniversary as a channel. And the channel is completely managed and produced by me, by myself. It is not funded by anybody else. It's just a personal initiative that I started a couple of years ago post-COVID. And I thought at the initial get-go of the conversation on the Fireside Chat, I thought, you know, I used to talk to people over coffee all the time. And, you know, my schedule was booked from morning to evenings with face-to-face meetings. And then COVID hit and that human connection has stopped. So I wanted to create a way to communicate with people, you know, and convey what we feel and what we want to talk about in a very easygoing setting. And that's why I created the Localization Fireside Chat. Today, I have the honor and distinct pleasure to have with me Christine Blanchette. Christine comes to us from Vancouver. And Christine is an award-winning producer of Run With It, a fitness and the closing act entertainment. I can't wait to, and an educator and moderator. Wow, you're multi-talented, Christine. I can't wait for me and the audience to get to know you a little bit better. And speaking to a fellow Canadian, always nice. We connect at a geographical level and we connect at a personal level too. So thank you again, Christine, for joining me on this conversation today. I can't wait to get to know you and for the audience to get to know you.
Thank you for having me. What a lovely introduction. Congratulations. You know, time goes by so fast, but here I am finally speaking with you. So thank you for having me.
So as we say on this channel, Christine, just to get the conversation started, everybody's got a story. So, and some people's story are so fascinating. I'm a very passionate about listening to people's stories because those stories makes us who we are. And, you know, if you look back at any story and you ask somebody, what's your story and where they are right now is the story that got them there. So as we get started with our conversation, if you don't mind, let's get to know you a little bit better. If you don't mind introducing yourself, tell us your story and we'll dive into the conversation.
Well, I always, I come from a hobby farm in Quebec and I've been in Vancouver since 1989, going a little bit there, but I always had passion to travel, like to see the world. And so not to say that I didn't mind and enjoy living on a hobby farm, but I knew something was telling me I had this, you know, zest to travel and to see the world. So I have seen some of the world, but then I moved in 1989, I was saying, running started when my brother wanted me to run for points, and points is that the one thing, you know, the track team to win. And so I helped. But little did I know that when I moved to Vancouver, that running would follow me. And it did. And so I just went running that day and someone said, oh, you have some talent. Why don't you just start running? So I ran. And this is where it's going to lead to. It's like, I didn't know that running would help launch a show. And it all started when I got laid off in the newspaper. I was in sales and I was writing a column, which I still am writing a column. And I had an epiphany and I said, well, I'll create my own show. And so it was because of my passion for running. So I owe my brother John in the hobby. And we used to run too, you know, and picking up bales of hay and, you know, our chores. We're just being very active. I think I get that from my family because we wake up at 5:30, do our chores, go to school. And my brother was the runner, as I said, and we were just, but I owe my brother, as I said, running. And I also, you know, my coach that came in and said I should be running, you know, joining a track team. And from there, you know, when some things happen, Rob, it's a blessing in disguise because I wouldn't have created the show if I wasn't pushed because I got laid off.
Right.
And I wouldn't be talking to you and you're sharing to your listeners and viewers. So, you know, it led to creating my running show called Run With It. But it's more than a running show. It's Stronger Legs now. It's coming to fitness entertainment. And yeah, so that's a short, not a long story short, I hope. So
fascinating. You know, I never thought I'd hear about a running show. And you know, it's so fascinating because I used to run when I was a kid. And you know, as I got older and life took over, I did not run as much. And I still long for days that I can go back and run. But my body says otherwise. And so, you know, and I know, like when I was talking to you earlier, the couple times that we had a conversation prior to having our podcast together, and looking at your profile and looking at what you've done, you were, for instance, you were a on the cover of Celebrity Online Magazine in November issue in 2023, and so it is not like under the rock for our audience. This is a famous program that has been featured in many media outlets. And it's got a lot of following from my guessing, having, you know, bringing this to our audience, introducing this to our audience is one way of saying to our audience who are always, you know, in our industry and in the localization industry are always sitting behind their laptops, just me, like me, and doing the work on their keyboard or talking on the, on the, on the camera, to get off their chairs once in a while. And I'm taking that lesson number one for me. It, to go out and try to do some physical activities. Tell me, A, what was the starting like? And, you know, have you saw any bumps around the road? And how did you overcome those challenges, if there's any?
You know, there certainly have been bumps and more bumps to go, you know, because being an entrepreneur or having a show is, as you know, it's not all glam. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and having a strong team and just really taking it step by step, because in this industry, if I may say, expect the unexpected. Expect people to change their mind when it comes to partnerships. Expect people to not show up. Expect people to not meet the deadline, and includes myself, right? But it's, I think it comes from being grounded. I think it comes from being, you know, just take something and tackle it, and keep going, and never give up. And I think I owe that to my parents, because although my mom's passed now, but it's like hard work, but work smart. Like, I don't mind rolling up my sleeves and doing what I have to do. And as a team, it's so vital to have a successful program or TV series, because without a team, I don't have a show. So that is really important. And when I say put my hands, I'll do what I need to do. If makeup doesn't show up, I do my own makeup. Like, I just, you make things, you have to adapt.
That's right.
And
That's right.
I think really, it applies to everyone, really. You could be a student, you could be working in finance, to, you know, everything. It's just your discipline. That's what I was trying to say to you. Well, I have, it's not so much ground as being disciplined, because, you know, my father, early, he's like, early and get up early, do your homework, do, like, keep going. And that's who I am today. I carry it with me, but I don't like to put pressure on anybody else, but I do what I feel I need to do. Makes any sense. So
So what motivates you?
what motivates me is people. I am inspired to help others. It's not about me, your ego aside. This is not my show, it's the people's show. I'm the messenger. If I'm used as a messenger, but I teach, I run a clinic. I don't always teach running, but I teach at times, learn to run, and I have the show. So what drives me is people. You know, they motivate me, inspire me to be the best I can be. I want to help others, and that's why I'm in this industry. And it's really not easy, but I'm thinking, if I can make one person happy and change their lives from one listener or 10,000 listeners or viewers, then I've done my job. Same thing applies to teaching. Yeah, I mean, it just, they keep me going, the audience, the people.
For the audience that don't know you, Christine, where can they catch the show?
Well, they can go to pleaserunwithit.ca. That's the website. Or they can Google my name, or IE, and just type in my name, and it'll come up. Like, from Instagram to Facebook, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is where I live. You know, I love LinkedIn. It's, you know, not to say the other ones are bad, but, you know, it's where I do a lot of my posts, if you will.
And I noticed that you've done, you're very active. I don't know if I can call you an activist, but you're very active in supporting women's causes and stuff, because you've participated in the Women's History Month in 2025, which is was featured on Zandra TV.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. I'd love to hear more, and I'd love the audience for them to get to know you a little bit better on that level.
Yeah, no, thanks. That's a great, you know, I love that you brought that up. And, well, you know, for women, and not only for women, for girls, because I used to be really shy. And, you know, I was being, I love my brothers, but being the only girl, I had to stand for myself. Fend for myself, and I was just like a tomboy because I would bale hay, I would do the dishes, I would do all that. But I feel a woman can do it. You know, I feel there's strength, and I think we, you know, women and men, you know, we need to inspire and motivate them. Like I did the World Cup for Women, Zandra TV. I created the show, and I'm celebrating women who led shows, women who, you know. Prime Minister, the President of Thailand is a woman president. When you say role models, I don't want to be a role model too. I may not be like a president or anything, but I want to help where I can help through running physical. That women can, or girls can, create a show from scratch. They just need to see someone else do it. And I come from not really I come from a bit of a broadcast background, but you know, I said, I can do this. And it's like a little engine that could, you know, and someone said to me, well, you don't look like a runner, but you can run. And I ran Boston. I ran second in Canada for the 50K. And then I created this show. You know, it takes, so with Zandra TV, she's very inspiring, and she's for promoting women, but also to help women. And that's where, you know, if I can help other women, I will. And that goes for men too. Like, you know, my shows I hope I answered your question, Rob.
Now, one of the, for those of us out there that are fascinating listening to somebody who is so passionate about running and driving force behind encouraging others to do the same, one of the things that we'd probably be asking for is that, you know, I've got my work schedule. I'm so busy. You know, I'm so stressed out in front of my computer, like 9 to 5. You know, some people work 9 to 5. I don't, but some people do. What's a day like for you? Like, if you can walk us through your day from the beginning to end, you must have like some sort of a routine or schedule that keeps you on. What would that look like?
I record everything down, and I rely on this. Not only, but I write everything down. Usually it's usually really busy in the morning, and then it just keeps going and going. And sometimes it's busy in the morning. It's not really a typical day, but I like to control what I can control. So I'll say, okay, I must do this. And then I'll have everything down. If I can move something, I'll move it for tomorrow. But I try to be accountable for what I do. If I'm going to commit, I really try to commit. But yes, it's, because, you know, saying earlier, sometimes people cancel, you know, for interviews because life gets in the way or whatever, the venue cancels, then you have to adapt. So I adapt. I have my ducks in a row, cliche, but at the same time, I'm expecting the unexpected. So at 10 o'clock at night, for instance, I'm thinking, I'm always on my phone. Then I get an email saying, oh, can you tell me what you think of this podcast? Because I teach freelance producing. CIT, and I'm like getting this email at 10 o'clock, and I'm thinking, okay, let me look, but I won't answer till the next morning. But I'm always on my phone. I'm always, you know, trying to hustle, you know, hustle, you know. But there are times I need to take self-care, and I call it my appointment with myself when I go out and run, and that's, nothing stops me, you know. I don't bring my phone unless it's an emergency. I will.
Yeah. For I'm just probably touching into a topic here, and just I have an affinity to it. For my colleagues who are in Quebec, and you in Vancouver, do you miss Quebec? Do you go back home? You must miss Quebec. I mean, Quebec's such a beautiful place.
I do.
I mean, Vancouver. Don't get me wrong. I mean, British Columbia is a nice place too.
No, I love it's my roots. I love it, and I'm planning to go back next year. I mean, this year at some point. I'm trying to get. I have to see about budgeting and everything else. But I still have roots there because I write for the Sherbet Record, so that's in Sherbet, Quebec. And I also do radio, CJNQ Radio, and I'm doing voiceovers, and I still have that, thread, if you will, that I have myself there. And I teach. I teach at Champlain College online, so I have that. So I feel if I have those three things, Rob, I feel like I'm still there, in a way.
It's too connected,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, and then last night I had a poutine because I was thinking of home. French fries, the cheese and the gravy, and I do French voiceovers at times. So, and then I talk to my dad almost every day, so it's a different world, and I don't know if I mean it by that way, it's just a very, people are very warm, I find, and it's just, I can't explain it exactly, but
yeah,
I do, very hard. Very warm.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, so you kept up your French, you do it bilingual, you consider yourself bilingual. We've got to go back onto the language topic now. You consider yourself bilingual, I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah, I would say that I am perhaps not fluently bilingual, but fluent enough, because I lost a little bit, but I can get by, I can speak in it, and I don't want to lose that. And I think when I go home, it's like I pick it up just like that. It's like I understand a lot here. I speak.
Yeah.
But I pick it up like a muscle, like running. I just I end up forgetting. Oh, yeah. Like I lose touch with my English because I'm just like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Because some of my family doesn't speak English. So I have to, My godmother speaks hardly any English, but that's okay. I end up doing it. So.
It's funny, when somebody speaks a language when they learned it during their childhood days, even if they separate from it and for a long time, you're right. There is that muscle memory that kicks in as soon as you go back into that environment, and it allows you to practice it, speak it, engage with it. And, especially the French-Canadian language where, Quebec is mostly, the French-Canadian side. It's got its own dialect, if you will, which you're more familiar with. And it's very, I want to say, warm. And it's very amazing, to practice, learn, live the culture. I know a lot of people, in English-speaking parts of Canada, they take their kids and they send them to what they call school exchange programs, where they send them to homes in Quebec to get them to learn and embrace or immerse themselves in the French language. And unless you live it, any language, unless you live it, you're not going to be able to speak it. Like learning it from rules, I believe, it's one thing. And there's a lot of people that learn it from rules, learning the conjugaison or learning the grammars and all that stuff. It's fine. But the practice is where it hits home.
Yes, no, it really does. And as you said, dialects, right? The different dialects in Montreal to Richmond, and then Drummondville and Sherbrooke. There's all, maybe not so much a dialect in that eastern townships, but in Montreal, in Quebec City, it's different. I don't know if I explain it properly, but it's fascinating. And sometimes the English and the French is mixed. For example, Chopin, hot dog, instead of chien au chaud. It's wild. I kind of think it's
absolutely. Hey, speaking of languages, and we can't really talk about anything in this world nowadays without talking about artificial intelligence.
Yes.
How is that affecting your world? I know you're multifaceted from a talent perspective, so how is that working out for you? Do you see in your world artificial intelligence? Do you get in touch with it?
You know what? I think it's here now, and it's going to only get more. But I call it my brainstorming friend. I use it as a tool.
Oh, I love that statement. That's pretty cool.
I use it as my, for inspiration. So, for example, if I'm looking for hiking, okay, top hiking trails, it'll come up. Or if I want to see, you know, I use everything in my posts. They're not AI generated text. Not to say it's bad. I'm not knocking, you know, whoever wants to use it can. But I try to use it only for inspiration. And when I do that, when I say try, I do it like 99.9%. If I do use it, then I will play a game with myself. I'll say, I'm going to write this paragraph and I will use AI and see if AI is better than a human. And I look, mine's good, but maybe I could change it just a bit of a word. Maybe not, but that's how I do it. But if I have a magazine article, I will tell the editor, right? Like, you cannot use AI for articles. Mm-hmm. Unless they say you can. It's like teaching. Like BCIT, they have a BCI, AI policy. But I really think we need to use creativity. We need that. Mm-hmm. As I, you know, said, brainstorming friend, I think that is okay. I mean, there are jobs out there that you can use AI with IT.
True.
And in teaching, you can use it for your resources or for curriculum. But, you know, just to be careful, right? And
yeah.
Fear, you know, and I'm learning a lot about it because I want to learn. I want to learn because I'd rather know than not know. Like, if I'm going to do a workshop, okay, what is AI? Why is it? What are the benefits? What are the risks? You know, it's that movie, Her, with Joaquin Phoenix, or I think it was. It's like artificial intelligence. It's just, it's here. But it's how you deal with it, you know.
And correct. When
I was doing an ebook in the Canada's, you know, the editor said, well, I'm going to give you a link. Rob, I'm just saying quickly, if I may. And I thought, okay, I'll use the link to see if it's AI. Okay? I'm 100% human. And I knew that, but I had to check for me just in case, because yep. there would be a problem, right? So you just, you know, it's best to be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other aspect of it is learning and teaching at the same time. You know, I always use this example on my podcast is I used to be a computer programmer back in, you know, 90s, right? So I gave that up and I went through a different direction in my life. And, you know, out of hobby, I thought, you know what, I want to try to see if AI can help me regain some of my skills. And surprise, surprise, it did. Like, now I can go back. Right, programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, engage my, you know, that muscle memory that you talked about earlier.
Yes. It can be a useful tool, a tool. And the thing is, like, if more descriptive you are, the better. You know, I think in anything in life, if you use it, you know, and you don't abuse it, then you're going to be fine. But just having an open communication, like, you know, I have some of the students, we have a BCI, we have an AI policy. Okay, you can't use this, but you can use AI for this assignment. So, you know, and again, it's kind of fascinating too, like how world technology driven our society has become. It's become like, I don't know, you know, we have the phones, we have virtual meetings, here we are doing an interview, and it's just, I don't know what next, Rob. So,
you know, I posted, you know, it goes back also to learning AI. You know, although on the surface it looks like it's something easy, you know, you give it instruction and it gives you back, you know, what looks to be useful. It is also, you know, if we take the time to learn how to deal with it or how to give it a specific instruction, it's a very useful tool.
Yes.
But we're, you know, I guess we live in a society where everything now is about downloading an app and clicking a button and everything gets solved for us, right? You know, but that's in high level perception of my consumerism, if you will, my consumerism behavior. And then we expect the same thing from AI. It's just like I give it instruction and it's supposed to read my brain and also, you know, give me exactly what I'm thinking about. Well, we're far away from here, from there, and that's called cognitive computing, which I don't know when that's coming online, but this particular one is, if we give it a set of instruction, how complex they are, it doesn't matter, and very specific, and we're very specific in the way we are asking our questions, You'll be surprised at the output. But if we give it vague instructions, we're going to get general output.
Yes, that's right. And you know, I think about the calculator. You know, when I, you know, we had to add. At least I'm dating myself here, but we had to add, not use. And then the calculator came. It's fascinating. And then the computer, the data engine, everything, the typewriters. Now we're typing on a computer. So everything keeps evolving. And it's all really about embracing it. And, you know, and that's and so far so good. You know, I love learning and. And rather get something head on than not know anything about it. So
I posted this joke on LinkedIn about AI and how people are just jumping in and using it and not taking like the time to get trained on it and trained properly to how to use it, and just for laughs, right? And I had so many people reposting it and commenting on it and thinking that's, you know, it's a great laugh. But it's to somewhat, there is some truth to that joke, right? So here's what I said. I said, letting an untrained user run AI is like tossing your car keys to your 12-year-old kid and saying, go nuts. And sure, they played enough Mario Kart and they can do it. But then all of a sudden, you know, you've got the neighbor's mailbox is gone. You know, they ruined the lawn. The dog is traumatized. It's just for laughs. But the point is that you're absolutely correct. Like even in our business, right? A lot of people, they want to shortcut the system and they say, okay, instead of paying full price for translation, for instance, what they do is they go put it in AI and they say, okay, well, I don't trust it, especially for the unilingual people. If you're bilingual, you can judge relatively speaking through languages, fine. But if you're writing to a language that you don't understand and you go to AI and say, I need this paragraph put in Korean. You don't know Korean. So you need somebody to validate to see if this is right. But they don't want to pay the full price for translation. They do the first step. They put it in AI and they say, can you revise it for us? Or can you review it for us? Which we do, which is fine. Not a big deal. But sometimes, my point is, sometimes we revise, when revising something and the amount of effort it takes to correct something, it's maybe easier to create it from scratch in the same language.
Exactly. Because you can't believe everything you read, hear, and see. So you cross-reference it. Like you could, yeah, as you just said, like, you know, you can't take it for truth. You have to do all your homework. But it's like, if English isn't your first language or whatever, when you're looking for a job, and you have AI do your cover letter, it could maybe not be a good thing, because when you go for the actual interview, it might your chances of getting that job might not happen. I'm just saying in general. So the thing is, and I think right now, please don't quote me, but I heard that the recruiter, HR, or some companies in any event, that you get a test before you even get an interview. So we give you an English test or a French test, and you have to be able to write a paragraph. So I think because of AI, from my understanding, it's because there's been too many people generally using AI for not knowing the language properly. And that's what brought me up to what you were saying. I mean, I don't know, I'm not an HR person, a recruiter, but I just heard something like that. So
Yeah, and you know, it's going to be a challenge down the road, especially for people like you and I. We're in the communication business.
Yes.
We communicate with others all the time. Yes. Is to decipher or to figure out. I don't know. Maybe I come from that generation. We'll still need to do that. Maybe the next generation don't care. But in our lifetime, in our generation, we probably still want to figure out if this is a genuinely written by a human being, or semi-written by a human being, or completely auto-written by something else. You know, maybe that's just psychological things that we still need to overcome as we still continue developing the technology. We call it the era of trust. Mm-hmm. We, at this point, we're still trying to develop a trust with technology, right? Maybe down the road, you know, the trust phase will move on and we already okay with it, and then new thing comes up. But at this point, we're going to go through a phase of trusting. And if we don't do it well, and if we don't trust it, then people are going to default back to the old ways.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's so there has to be, the humanness and the community and the trust in there about what we do. I also think that we're accountable. Like, how do you feel? Right? You're gonna feel
Yeah.
guilty about writing something in AI and passing along like an article
Yeah.
or a letter. Or it really is about your integrity.
Yeah. And there's a lot of social media companies now. They're doing auto detect now on content that's coming out of AI, right? I know YouTube has that.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn's starting to get something like that in place. Actually, they have something like this in place now. If
Yes.
somebody tried to upload like an image generated by AI, they don't have to do anything with it. LinkedIn will detect it's coming from an AI platform,
Yes, and YouTube, like
and it will
YouTube
flag it at that.
yeah, well, if I'm gonna say like YouTube, they have when I post videos up, there's just paraphrasing of a section, is this AI generated content? No. You can
Yep.
guarantee, my English, my language, how I write is me. So my
Yep.
favorite quote is, "Be who you are, there's no one like you." People will know it's written from me, because I know it is in my heart. And
Yep.
I think when you look at LinkedIn, or I'm just using LinkedIn as a social media platform, or any, you think that looks AI generated. It's too nice. It's too flowery.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
too, I don't know how to explain it, but that's just
Yeah,
my
especially when
opinion.
they start inserting a whole bunch of emojis in the text. And some of the emojis I've never seen before. I don't know. They're getting good in graphics,
The plane or something. I don't
I
know. I mean, I'm not an
guess.
expert by any means, but I'm just saying, like, I'll stick to what I have and be who I am, and
Hey,
AI's
you
not
know
going
what?
to fix that.
Some people are going to be going to the artisan that makes the good, nice bread on in your local community, and some people they're going to still go to the supermarket and buy it in bulk from
Yeah.
some robot who made, bread somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're going to have two societies. You're going to have the society that consumes things automatically published and created, and you're going to have another society that's going to, I'll call it the finer things in life.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? It's really, up to the person or the individuals to do what they think is right. But as
Yep.
a writer, I just want to keep who I am. And as I keep saying, use AI as a brainstorming friend and know enough so I can do a workshop and know enough that, what are the risks? What are the benefits? And take it from there. And if someone asks me, is this AI generated? Nope. I can look
Nope.
in the eye
You're
and say,
right.
nope. And
Yeah,
that's
you can't manufacture stories. Stories that are related to life cannot be manufactured by AI. It has to have date and time. I remember I've taken classical writing when I was in university, and just elective things. And classical writing, meaning that if I can remember it correctly, you probably know more about it than I do. It has to have a specific time and date when it happened, and you have to formulate a story around that. So, of course, you can stretch reality a little bit, but it has to have a story that actually happened in time somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's so true. Yeah, or a book, you can feel the emotion of the person.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned an ebook. What kind of ebook you write? Is this like more than one or?
Well, I'm under, like, I can't say too much, but it's an ebook about
Oh, it hasn't been published yet.
not yet, no,
Oh,
not
no.
yet.
Okay.
But stay tuned for more.
Okay. We'll stay tuned for sure.
But I've been a co-author in two books, Pursuit 365, co-author, and then 262 Women, 262 Mission Accepted. I've been a co-author, but not an author. But I love stories. I love being a storyteller, and I love speaking, finding your own
Yeah.
words. And I've never done a TED Talk yet. Not yet. So stay tuned for that one, Rob.
Hey, if for the audience, I mean for my audience here, how can they help? How can they what do you need from my audience? I guess what's your pitch to my audience on this channel? What would
Well,
you like from them to do?
you know what? I would love people to be inspired. Check the show out, and constructive criticism is great. It's how you improve the show. for the shows, and just I want people to be the best they can be. It doesn't have to be running, it can be sprinting. And I'm here if they want to connect or subscribe, that's great, or like it, or leave a comment and say this is I'd like to see on the channel. Really, it's about the listeners and viewers, So the show is about, getting up and starting to work out. And the other show, Music Entertainment, we can never get enough music entertainment. We need the arts. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. For our audience, what Christine is doing is pretty amazing in terms of supporting everybody by motivating them to do better, to do well, to be healthy. And definitely we know a lot of poisonous thing gets thrown at us during the day, ideas, thoughts, food, air we breathe, whatever, you name it. Changing the way we live to a better life, I guess that would be the objective, right, Christine?
Yes, yes. And I think we need positive programming, and I think I have that. And
yeah,
just for those listeners and viewers, go out, get some vitamin D and go out and do a walk, a run, listen to podcasts, that are great, like self-help, to inspiring. It could be a cartoon, it could be animation, it's whatever that family fitness,
sure.
Unplug your devices.
Yep.
Outdoors. And
that's the key word, unplug your devices. Everybody's connected like too many devices nowadays.
It's too much sometimes.
Do you have a family? Do you have kids? Do you?
No.
I thought if you had family and kids, you probably raised them the way you were, you're practicing here. So.
Well, my students are my kids. If I can,
oh, they're lucky to have you.
Thank you. Well, I taught elementary just children, and I love animals, and but again, positive programming. We need more of that,
sure.
And that's what I do. My programming is all about that. It's nothing with anything that's going to.
What about the thought of deprogramming? We always talk about programming something, but what about deprogramming? Some people are programmed or wired the wrong way. What about deprogramming? Can you talk to that, or?
Yeah, I think it's starting small, right, and having a goal, because it's not going to happen, generally speaking, overnight. You need to have support, and you need to have a goal, as I said, but also get the help, right? And sometimes it's the ask. Sometimes it's good to be vulnerable. It's okay to be vulnerable. Right, that's how
sure.
You reach out, because if you don't, there's a lot of people, mental wellness, to mental health, to deprogramming, to I think it's really okay to be vulnerable, because no one's perfect, we're all human.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you'd like to add? I mean, we're coming up to an end here. We do these recordings for about 42 minutes. I really enjoy talking to you, and the conversation is amazing. If you're ever in the GTA area, in the Toronto area, I'd love for you to look me up. I'd love to have a coffee with you and get to know you in person. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
And if I ever make it to Vancouver, which I do sometimes, I'll say hello to you if you're okay with that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What can I say? Just, thank you for having me. I mean, I really enjoyed our conversation. It wasn't an interview. It was like we're having a coffee chat by a fire chat. But just people out there, remember is to believe in yourself and never give up. So, and you can.
That's right.
You can do it.
That's right.
Start a show. You can start working out. Just having the tools.
Yeah. Right. Put your mind into something and go do it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. From me. And from the audience, I want to thank you, Christine, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time with me. I really enjoyed immensely the conversation we've had today. And I'm 100% certain that our audience will get something positive out of this conversation. And at the same time, I want to thank the audience for listening in, if they're coming in on our podcast channels. And if they're listening in or watching us on YouTube, I really appreciate that too. And if you're reading the blog where we summarize our conversation, we put it on our blog site. If you're reading the blog, please share as much as you can. Again, this effort here, this channel is a completely personal effort by me. It's, you know, I call it funded by my effort. And this is what I do. I don't make money out of it. I just enjoy the conversation. And what started as a hobby is now has a great following, which I'm really enjoying the conversation that I'm having with everybody, the audience and the guests. And it's created this community that it's really driving me to do better every day. I wake up for a reason now. And this is the channel that's really helping me get there. It's taken my creative outlet to that whole new level that I was looking for. From me and the audience, I want to thank you so much, Christine, for being part of this 103 episode that we've recorded today. And all I ask in return is, if you don't mind clicking, liking, and sharing, and commenting on the outcome, on the content, I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yes, it'd be my pleasure.
Thanks so much. And we'll stop the recording right now, and we'll connect with you later. Thank you.